of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
If we change the name of the show, which we're not planning to, unscripted would be good. And it never ceases to amaze what gets discussed right before Shayna Goldman comes on the air on her Friday appearance on Sabres Live. The last word was actually mature, uttered by Marty. And again, that's not a phrase that gets used often with this group. And Shayna, we did a very dramatic tease before the break. Now, I will read the full quote because I don't think it's a swear word, and it is attributed to Tom Fitzgerald. And his quote was, "We want good people, no dickheads, just good people." You don't need to reiterate that word. I know everybody's on pins and needles as to whether I should have said it, but I think it's a hilarious quote. And what a way to launch into your Friday appearance. Like, seriously, wouldn't
it's perfect for me, right? Like, that's a very team word. So I'm very surprised. Sorry, Meek is very emotional, but I'm very surprised that, like, I'm not the first one to drop a bomb on this while I'm on here. So thank you for taking that.
Thank you. Well,
You know what? It's funny because when my son decided to join a team, it was Jason York's team in Kentville in the CCHL. One of our first meeting, he's like, we used to have a bunch of, bad people. So he used a different word that I can't use on here. It's not the one you use, but he basically, know this. In our team, that was the selling point for me. So when Tom Fitzgerald was asked about how do you find good character players or whatever, well, that was his quote. That was about as basic as it can get. And
maybe you should send that memo up to Edmonton because they have like the complete different approach.
Well played. Oh, wow. See, this will surprise no one that Shayna delivers the great line here within the first minute of her appearance. Now, Shayna, yesterday I prompted Marty with the question, you know, which RFA would sign first, whether it was going to be Perfetti or Mercer. Now, we know that Dawson obviously won the race, got it done 3x4. Unless I missed it, Perfetti's still not done yet, correct? Nope. Okay, so I wanted to reissue this question in a different way to both of you. Perfetti or Mercer, who would you rather have?
Go ahead, Shayna, because
Where I'm the same way. Like, okay, if I'm the New Jersey Devils right now, I prefer to have Dawson Mercer because he is exactly what that top nine needs. He brings a totally different skill set than a lot of their guys who bring, you know, that incredible play in transition and they're amazing playmakers. And Dawson has that dog in him. It's exactly what they need to punch up their offense. So I think he's the perfect fit for them. But I think someone like Perfetti is super valuable too. If I really had to get into the nitty gritty and I really had to decide, I'm going to give a very, very, very slight edge to Mercer because I think he adds a little bit more versatility to the lineup. I think he can be trusted to play top 6 minutes and we've seen him step up when he needs to, but he also can play down the middle or on the wing. And I think that's super valuable to have in today's game. So I am all for positional flexibility and just having more options with your lineup that I'm going to give him the very slight edge.
But you have to think that Perfetti is going to make more money maybe than Mercer. Like he's a,
I think so.
Like,
but why?
But he can score probably 25 to 30 and so get you Dawson. Like 60
they're
points.
They're both first rounders from the same draft class and they're both at basically just over half a point a game right now.
Yeah, but I think Perfetti different. Has a higher ceiling in what he can give you. Mercer, I love Mercer. I'd take him on my team any day of the week.
Right, but why would Perfetti get more money now when he's played almost a half, like fewer games?
Well, if you're the Devils, you leverage the fact that Mercer's coming off of a bad season, right? And they
Perfetti's not coming off a great year.
I know, he's but better. Mercer's was
yeah, three
such
points
a,
in 26 games, down. And then only played once in the playoffs.
Well, the I think new coaches, new vibe there a little bit, and I think the same with Mercer to an extent because I feel like he got almost stale last season, and they tried in so many ways, right? Like, okay, so you cannot be a top six winger right now. You are not playing up to the level of the top six that they need you to. Okay, you're going to go on the third line. Oh, you can't even drive the third line and play down the middle that you're shifting to wing. Like when they know what he can do at the NHL level and then he goes as flat as he did, I see why he would get less money. And the other part of it is if you're the Devils, you have to keep his salary low. And if you're Mercer, you have to agree to that short-term deal because it would be the worst position, I think, for him to sign a long-term deal because he wouldn't get his maximum value.
And I almost feel that Perfetti seeing Mercer sign a 4-year deal kind of is like, listen, you can probably take a 3 or 4 year deal at $3.5 to $4 million, or we're going to give you 5.25, 5.5 on a 6 or 7 year deal. Like, I, as a player making that a little bit more money and the longer term, I would take that. I would take the 7 year deal at 5.5 if I'm Perfetti, as opposed to the 4 for 4 that Mercer did. Like, that's no, almost the way that I look at it.
It's 3 years, $4 million.
Three for four. Yeah, you're right. 3 for 4. So $12 million. But still, like, I would take this 7 year, 5.5 Perfetti over 3 for 3 years, $4 million.
Why would Perfetti ever agree to that?
Guaranteed money. It's money.
That's
put
the
in
thing,
his
right? And in today's game, how many players?
By the way,
would, like,
I love them both, and I'm just playing an angle here to get more insight, you know, from you guys. So
you're doing a good job at that. Yeah. I'm like, wait a second, you're really pushing us on the whole thing. I think you like Cole Perfetti, Duffer. I mean,
I do. He's from my hometown of Whitby, Ontario. I have to like him.
Write it down.
I listen to you sometimes, and I think you've always spoke highly of Cole Perfetti. So that's what it is.
Didn't we Zoom with him during COVID? Before his draft?
Yes, that was the draft. Perfetti was one of them.
Yeah.
I really liked him. Yeah. He talked about playing a little bit more like DeBrincat, I think. That's something that he talked about. So, yeah.
Well, what else is big news, Shayna, right now?
Mo Sider.
Yes.
Big RFA. Well,
is the bigger story in Detroit not the fact that Larkin still remains the bar and they were able to keep Sider and Raymond under it? Like,
yeah.
And I phrase it this way because I'm presenting it as, shouldn't we have always expected that this is how Steve Yzerman is going to run this?
Yes and no, right? Like, some teams have those internal caps. And like the Sabres, to an extent, did it up front, right? It felt like Tage Thompson was the bar and everyone had to go below that. Obviously, defense is a different story. And even New Jersey, to an extent, felt like Jack Hughes was the bar. And if I remember correctly, Timo Meier's average annual value is higher, but the cap hit percentage, like, you know, you could use that as your gauge instead. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. But in Detroit's case, do I think they needed a hard stop? And this is the thing in hockey, right? Why would a player take a contract that you go, you're worth more than that? There's the pressure from the team to be like, oh, you have to be a team player and you have to fit under X. Do I think it's a bad thing that either one of these contracts is under Larkin's salary? No, because Detroit should want to save every penny that they can. And, you know, now that we know that they went big on both deals, we can kind of understand why they didn't go as big in free agency or via trade like we hoped mm-hmm. that they would have. I don't think it's bad for Sider to be under 8.7 because this contract is a huge swing as it is, and he has to prove that he is up to that level. And obviously it's going to take the Red Wings not burying him in the worst usage in the league to do so.
Yeah.
But I would say of the two players that I could have seen matching or exceeding Larkin, it wouldn't have been Sider anyway. It would have been Larkin, but center mm-hmm. versus wing, you can have that whole other discussion. So, you know, there's a million ways to look at it. I don't think it's the worst thing for the Red Wings, but of course, if I'm a player, I'm going to be like, I don't care. That contract was signed years ago, and that's not my problem.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's surprising to me is, like, we don't, like, it's, to me, it's harder to live in this artificial team cap world when inflation is so high and the cap rises, right? Like, every player should be like, I don't care about your internal team cap. I'm entitled to this because that's what the market is nowadays.
I thought Sider was a $9 million defenseman. Like, I'll be honest yeah. with you, I didn't think he was going to come in below Larkin, and he did. And I thought even if he comes in a little over Larkin, like, that is his market value, in my opinion. So did he take less? Yeah. Was it like, hey, you want to be in camp? You want to play preseason games? You want to have a good year? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think there's some pressure points that Steve Yzerman has used there for Mo Sider, and it worked. Those same pressure points, Shayna, are not working on Jeremy Swayman. And I have listened over and over and over again to Don Sweeney's press availability. And you mentioned about people that are getting angry or are kind of on the on tilt a little bit. I feel like Don Sweeney's on tilt with the whole Swayman and saying that December 1st is he's confident that they'll get done before December 1st. The Bruins can't afford Swayman to miss 2 months. So where do you see Swayman's contract go? But also, is Don Sweeney digging his heels in a place where he shouldn't be because that's going to hurt?
I think the fact that he's punting it to December, not being like, he has to be signed by training camp start or the beginning of the season. And he's not, he's kind of like setting the distance out for as much as he can. So I think that's okay. But you look at the entire situation and like what's going on right now. You have Swayman, who everybody loves, right? Here's a guy who has a great personality, seems like a nice guy, and he thrived for the Bruins this year. And when everyone questioned, can he handle playing, you know, consecutive games in the playoffs? He was like, yeah, I can, and I'm going to kill it. So yeah, he's earned all of that and more. And they traded Ullmark. So you know what has to happen here, because you're not running with Korpisalo. I don't care how good the Bruins are defensively. That is not going to be your number one guy. We all know it. And that is great leverage for Swayman to have. Sweeney's always going to look like the bad guy here. And in a way, he is. This is why arbitration is a problem. This is why players who go to arbitration with their teams generally don't stick with their teams long term, because it is an arduous process where the team literally decides to tear down their players. And while they think they need to do that to keep the cap hit down, I think every general manager needs a nice reminder, and hopefully this situation can serve as one, that you do not need to be as rough with your players as you are in arbitration, because you will burn bridges long term. There is a way to get things done, and I know every GM thinks that they have all the power and leverage over the in the world over an RFA. These are still your players, and they're very important to you. And while they might be replaceable, good luck replacing him specifically.
Marty, did you see the little note in out of San Jose camp yesterday?
Best shape of their lives. Everybody's in best shape of their lives because they were in best shape of their life.
Askarov is day to day.
He's day to day. Yeah, I did see that. There's a
tough start.
Well, tough start. And look, this is not a short-term thing. The San Jose Sharks acquired Askarov for the long-term.
Right, hopefully the injury is short-term. Do,
but yes, it is a tough start for him. Mm-hmm. You know what is interesting is that word out of Montreal was that the Montreal Canadiens inquired on Yaroslav Askarov.
Oh, of course.
The Nashville Predators wanted, who's the kid in college?
Lane Hudson?
The goalie. I'm gonna get his name right now because it's is it Fowler? Is it Jacob Fowler, goalie that they have? Yeah, Fowler.
I think so.
Yeah, they wanted Jacob Fowler.
Some good TV and radio right here.
I know exactly.
It's Friday.
Because there's Cam Fowler. There's this. I'm like, wait a second. I've got a lot of names in my head right now, but they wanted Jacob Fowler in return, and the Canadians said no. Was that a fair ask by Nashville? Absolutely. Is Montreal really banking on their young prospect who's playing college hockey right now to be an answer in 3 or 4 years down the road? Yes, but I don't think Askarov is the answer right now anyway in San Jose. It's a few years down the road that they're hoping he steps up, but it's not a good start.
Nashville got their goalie in the deal anyway in Krona. Remember we talked about that? His last NHL game was giving up 8 to Nashville.
Yeah, so they know that they can build their confidence in practice, but yeah, that's the way to.
Shana,
are you huge on scrimmage? And like, I'm watching around the league right now. It's Toronto, Craig Berube. You know, it's a different atmosphere in camp. Like he's pushing them to the limit. Even here in Buffalo, Lindy, it's a different atmosphere. Philly is like, oh, the skate test, it's terrible, but it gets, Eric Johnson says, it gets us together that we're doing this. Like, are you huge on those quotes in camp right now? Or you're like, put that in the garbage and see how you are by November 1st?
It's all crap. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it really is. Like, I have no other way to put it, and I edited myself from what I could have said. It is seriously, I get it. You have to say this stuff and you want to get the vibes up and you want to get everyone like ready to run through a brick wall, right? Like if you're especially a new coach, right? You're Lindy Ruff right now. You're like, I got to get these Sabres ready to do anything for me and be hyped to go into the season. And guys, veteran players need to be doing the same thing and everyone's in the best shape of their lives. And that's great and wonderful. I literally do not care. Do not get injured. Do not anything else. Just do what you need to do. Start clicking, get it going. But it is so overhyped. I try to like tune it out and I just pay attention to the quick things like, oh, this player's injured. Okay. Note that for something I'm writing. Right. Otherwise, nope. Does not matter to me. Show me when the season starts and show me it. Not just game one, but game 60.
We have to break, unfortunately, but just know that I do plan to start a new game with both of you the next time you return to Sabres Live, which I hope it's next Friday. Do we don't have a game next Friday, do we?
We do.
Oh, you it's do have a game. It's a,
but
it's
we do have a show leading on to the game.
Yeah, but I won't be on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I won't launch into the game then. All right, we got a break. Thanks, Shayna.
Thanks
We're
for
back
me.
After this on Sabres
Live. Friday vibes.